time for God's word. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to continue this morning preparing ourselves for revival. Okay, that's what we've been doing. And as soon as we start doing that, there are some things that we need to clearly understand, and that is the meaning of certain words. We've got to make sure we don't get them confused with what the biblical meaning is. And so today we're looking at the meaning and the implication of two words, or two phrases, the anointing and God's glory. So it's going to be fun. However, before we get to that, there seems to be a lot of confusion here about who is responsible for certain tasks. And when I say here, I'm not only talking about church. Just look at the country. We won't go there. Right. Now, Charles was very kind to me this week, and she helped me understand why. This is a story about four people called Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. And yes, I know it's old and many of you have read it, but it's always good to be refreshed. Whenever there is something that needs to be done, everybody is asked to do it. Now, everybody was certain that somebody would do the job. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody was very upset about that because it really was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. And so it ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Got it? Right. Let's start by looking at the anointing, what its meaning is. Well, the definition of the anointing, and it's described as follows, it's the supernatural endowment of the Holy Spirit upon a person's life to do the works of ministry. Any people here? Right? Well, let's put it a different way then, because I didn't see too many hands come up there. Right? Maybe we could say it like this. It's the divine empowerment. Do you see that word, empowerment? Given to every believer by God to do whatever he has called them to do. Any believers here? Oh, no. So you're all empowered. Okay, I'm finished. We can go home now. Not quite. Yeah, Jesus is an example to us about what happens when we are empowered, when we receive the anointing. And we can read this in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 19. Jesus is standing in church, and he decided to share with the congregation what the anointing on him means, what it's there for. And he says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me." Right? Now, you would remember when Jesus was baptized in the river by John the Baptist, the Spirit of the Lord, in the form of a dove, came and rested on him, right? He was anointed. He was filled with the Spirit of the Lord. But then Jesus continues to explain why, what his purpose was for the anointing, why, what it was that he had to go out and do with the anointing. And as we carry on in those two verses, he says this, "To bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released." Now, you know what proclaim means, don't you? It means you stand and shout, telling everybody. To proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Now, Jesus, fully human, was normal, just like us. Maybe. Right? Normal? Got to think about that one. right? Jesus, normal like us, he was empowered by the anointing to fulfill the plan and purpose of God for his life. You see, what he did was he showed each and every single one of us what is possible when we ask for and receive God's anointing. The power of God through the Holy Spirit was present in him to do works of ministry. And we can see this in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, when it says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and Jesus went around doing good and healing all. But there were also times when Jesus was doing other things and he was aware of an anointing of power, an increase in intensity within him of the anointing. And in Luke chapter 5, verse 17 says, one day when Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every town in Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And he was aware that the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Now this same anointing, the same power of the Holy Spirit, the same awareness of power present to heal is given to each and every single one of us. Oh, gee, I thought that was worth an amen there, Charles. Right? It's given to each and every single one of us. No? You're not too sure about that. Okay. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? And in chapter 6, verse 19, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? We have the Holy Spirit of God in us. He has empowered us to do work of ministry. You like the first part, but not the second part, right? You and I are anointed by God. Right? Let's confirm that a bit more. Right. In 1 John 2, verse 20, it says, you have an anointing from the Holy One. And verse 27 of the same chapter says, the anointing you received from him remains in you. So what are we doing with the anointing that God has given us? You see, we are empowered by him through the Holy Spirit who is in us. And so we have no excuse not to fulfill God's plan and purpose for us. And unfortunately, not every one of us realize and understand and grasp hold of and put to use the fact that this continuous supply of supernatural power is available to us at any time. Not only just here in church. It's always available to us, if only we'd ask for it. Yeah, can you imagine being at work and battling with a major problem? And the Holy Spirit is standing there and saying, ask me, come on, ask me, come on, come on, come on, ask me. I know what the answer is, please ask. And we just ignore him. Or what about when we're battling with making a decision that is life-changing? And the Holy Spirit is saying there, I've got the answer, you know. But we don't ask. We don't ask him for wisdom. If only we would ask God. Ask him to increase the anointing in our life. Do you remember Acts chapter 2 and Pentecost? You remember what happened there? Right, where the disciples were all gathered in the upper room. There were about 120 of them. Oh, it's sort of gone up from the 12, hasn't it? There were about 120 of them, and they were anointed by God. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they put that anointing to use and changed the entire world. Now, there's about 120 plus minus 10 or yeah. We have the capacity through God to change the entire world around us. Turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you. Yeah. You know, if we've got to that place where we know we've already received the anointing, but for whatever reason, we're not following God's plan. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit, but we're not doing His purposes for us. We're not completing the tasks that He set before us. We're settling for a substandard version of life that God has planned for us. I believe that God's design for this church family is to be lively and exciting and a joyous representation of who He is. It's got to be a place where people come to experience God's visible presence, where they meet Him within His love and His grace. In His kindness. And it's not a place where we come along to sing songs on Sunday. Listen to this guy carrying on in the front. It's more than that. It's got to be more than that. You see, it's time for us to get serious and get before God and say, Lord, we're hungering for You. It's time to become desperate for Him, to ask and keep on asking for more anointing, more of Your love, just more of Your presence, Lord. It's time to stop being satisfied with less than what God has planned for us. You know, we do not have to hesitate to ask God for anything. We have no reason when we ask Him to be afraid of His response. Because the truth is, when we ask God, He will not shame us. He will not speak hurtfully to us when we come to Him and ask for more. In fact, He won't even make fun of us and mock us. You know, like Oliver, remember the movie Oliver? Yeah. Please, sir, may I have some more? And He's going to say, with pleasure, my son. He's not going to say to us, what did you do with what I've given you? He's not going to ask us questions, are you sure you're going to put it to use right now? Instead, He has this incredible promise for us, which we find in Matthew 7:7, which says, ask. Come on, ask Me. Ask Me. Keep on asking. And you will receive. We can't view coming to God and asking for more of His anointing, for more of His Holy Spirit in us, so that we can sit back and say, well, yeah, well done. I've reached another milestone towards spiritual maturity. Instead, His Holy Spirit comes with gifts. Right? He's given us a whole collection of spiritual gifts, a complete toolbox of divine abilities, nothing that we can learn or teach ourselves about. Not skills, not talents. And he's given us this so that we can serve others. And you can go and read all about that in Romans chapter 12, in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14, in 1 Peter 4 verse 10. Right? We're not going to be teaching on, I'm not going to be teaching on spiritual gifts today. Because the anointing empowers us to do the work he's called us to do. And sometimes we use spiritual gifts to do it. Now, for those who've been attending and listening to those five vital questions for the local church that Alan's been challenging us with, two Sundays ago, he asked us to answer this question as part of question three of those five. And just before I get there, a quick message from our sponsor. If you missed them, check out the Centurion Vineyard channel on YouTube or go to our webpage, cvcf@co.co.za, and you can pick up the audio podcast. So while you're riding to work in that wonderful traffic, you can be listening to those questions. Right. End of commercial. The question is, what are you meant to contribute towards the life of this local church? Did you notice it's not what am I meant to contribute? It's not what Alan is meant to contribute. It is what are you meant to contribute towards the life of the local church? It was a challenge to go and find out what God has called us to do as part of this local church family. Now, I know this about my God, about our God. He would not direct us to do something that he knew we would fail at. He created us. He knows how unsure we are when it comes to believing that we are good enough to do anything. You know, he's made sure that we've got the necessary power to do it. And he's put people in place to train us so that when we start doing what he's called us to do, they can equip us. They can make sure that we know what we're doing and get to a place of excellence in what he's called us to do. Also last week, Alan said, God has given us gifts, right? That's people to equip us, spiritual gifts to help us serve others, skills and abilities to use to demonstrate his love to others. He's given us gifts so that we can minister in ministry. So where can we be ministers? Well, the truth is we can be ministers anywhere God wants us to be. Man, it's really quiet here. And as we start discovering where God is calling us to be, one of the things, or some of the things that we need to be keeping track of, looking out for, which will help us to discover exactly what it is God has called us to do, called us to use the anointing and the power to fulfill his calling. These are just some ideas, some key things that we may use, and it may help you to find out what God is calling you to do, right? The very first one is when you recognize situations and you say to yourself or you think to yourself, I wish somebody should do something about that. Or when you see a situation and you look at it and you're just looking there and you're starting to think, what would you do to make a difference for others if you knew that you would not fail? What would you do to make it better for others if you knew that money wasn't an obstacle? Now, my God is the creator of all things, right? He says to me, I can do anything through him. And he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So he's just removed all the objections. I wish that there was time that I could share with you a testimony of a lady called Jackie Gallagher. She's about this high. She founded and runs a school for mentally and physically challenged, underprivileged children in Johannesburg, in Melville, in Johannesburg. And about 20 years ago, as a housewife, God laid on her heart a need that needed to be met. Physically and mentally handicapped children. And she went to her pastor, starting point, and said, this is what I believe God is calling me to do. What can I do? And he prayed with her. Very spiritual guy, wasn't he? Right? He prayed with her. And she went and fulfilled what God has done. And seriously, go to sparrowschools.co.za and take a look at how God has blessed that work. Because it's not what she's done. It's that she had an anointing, she felt for compassion, she felt for others, and she went out and did what God had told her to do. So, another key thought. What is it that you feel compassion for? Right? What is it that you see that makes you feel compassionate? Maybe it's you see the guys walking with no shoes on. Or perhaps it's you see folk who are hungry or without clothes. Does that make you feel compassionate? Right? What about single parents who are trying to raise children? Or folk going through divorce? For all us older folk, right, and I'm talking about certain people who will remain nameless, what about being a stand-in grandparent for little children running around who don't have grandparents? No. Yes, I agree. No. You know, Jesus looked at people and he had compassion, and what happened? It made a difference. Sorry, he made a difference. Or perhaps there are specific tasks that you like doing, specific actions that you take that make you feel fulfilled, more energized than before. Right? For me, I love to see people grow. I love to see them discover what their spiritual gifts are and start putting them to use and taking risks and growing in their faith. Because ministry means serving. And because ministry means serving, it means we need to be involved. And so ask me. Ask anyone of the church leaders. We'll help you find a place where you can be involved. Where you can discover where it is that you can minister within a ministry. And so to summarize the anointing, it's that divine empowerment given to every believer by God to do whatever he's called them to do. And now let's go and look at the glory. God's glory. First of all, we start off with the glory is not the anointing. All right? Say to the person next to you, come on, The glory is not the anointing. It's the manifest or visible presence of God. It is God doing His works, operating according to His sovereignty and initiative. And we have a name for it. We call it revival. Now we know the Holy Spirit is in us, right? And the Bible promises us that where two or more are gathered together, He is there. Right? In Matthew 18, verse 20. So isn't this the presence of God? You know, even though as Christians we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and He is present wherever we are, there is more. There's a greater intensity in experiencing His presence. It's more than an intellectual understanding that He is present. It becomes more than just knowing that He's present. It's a personal experience knowing Him. It's an overwhelming experience that touches every single area of our life. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually. Every area is touched by His presence. Now this has already started. For those of you who miss out on our pre-service prayer times, you're missing out on experiencing Him. Oh, that we have a pre-service prayer here. Because there's so many of us. Right. Those who are missing out on our soaking services, right, He's here. So, one quick ad break. Intermission. If you've missed out on our soaking services, the next one is on the 21st of August, 6 p.m. Load shedding or not, we get together. Right. And our goal is to meet with God. That's it. So come along. Invite friends. Bring them along. Let's meet with God. God's glory is this unusual expression of His visible presence. And it sets revival apart from church as usual. It makes church exciting. And it's only unusual because we've got used to living without experiencing God's presence. And we're so used to doing everything in our own strength, using our own skills and abilities, that we no longer know what God's presence is. Bill Johnson says that the manifest or visible presence of God is what distinguishes the people of God from all other people in the world. We cannot call ourselves the people of God if God is not present. Right? Just think back to the Old Testament, to when the Israelites were in the desert. Right, and spent 40 years traveling around. How did everybody know they were God's presence? They were God's people, His presence. And so the Old Testament gives us these examples of God's overwhelming presence amongst His people. Think about this in Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 to 35, where we read about Moses and the tabernacle or the tent of meeting, where God's presence was visible, a pillar of fire at night, a cloud by day. And the cloud covered the tabernacle and the glory of God. God's visible presence filled that tent. What about when Solomon had completed the temple and the ark was placed in the Holy of Holies? And in 2 Chronicles 5, 14, 13 and 14, we can read what happened, where the people were playing musical instruments and they were shouting hallelujahs and they were worshiping God. And then it says, and the priests could not continue their service because of the cloud, for the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. Lord, that's what we seek for. That's what we need, Lord, your presence. Because when God is present, something wonderful always happens. Just think back to Pentecost, right? God's presence caused them to change the world. But it's also true that we can experience God's presence at different levels of intensity. And I want to illustrate this in the natural and talk about food. And straight away, I've got Ron's attention. His head is up and he's got a smile on his face. You know, when it comes to food, if we're already full, we won't eat. Right? We'll just have nothing to eat. If we are satisfied, in other words, we've been snacking during the day, we'll have a small portion. We'll just nibble at our food. But if we're hungry, we're going to eat a full meal. And if we are starving, right? Parents of teenagers would understand this one. If we're starving, then we'll inhale more than one serving. See, we have to choose whether we are satisfied with less of God's presence in our life, or we're satisfied with what we have now. In other words, we're going to stagnate. You know what the meaning of stagnate is? It's just a fancy word for a slow death. Or we're going to search until we find more of God. We're not going to give up. We're going to keep on pushing. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Because we can be satisfied by what we focus on each day in the world. But that's not God. But if we're starving, desperate for God's presence, then we will be determined not to miss one opportunity for more of God. We'll do everything in our power to learn more about what we can do to experience more of Him, to experience more of His presence. And we'll search and we'll go and talk and we'll go and find out in any way we can about how to do it. And I found some incredible resources. One of them is called YouTube. Right? So I've got a challenge for you. How about choosing every day to watch one video from Revival Radio TV on YouTube? Yeah. Or if you don't like that, you can go and watch any one of the revivals that are recorded on YouTube, and you've got Brownsville Revival, you've got the Toronto Airport Church and the revival that took place there, and there are many others. Right? Go and watch that instead of spending time watching your daily soapy. Or even spending an hour watching the bad news and criticizing the world, the whole country. Instead of doing that, let's get excited about God's revival and start saying, do it again, Lord. Do it here. Do it again. Because the truth is that the more we experience God, the more of His presence, that we enjoy, the more of his presence that we ask for, the hungrier for more of God we will get to be. And this isn't just a goal for us to achieve. It's a lifestyle we want to be living. Now, the truth is, we cannot make it happen. It's by God's grace. But here's the incredible thing. His love is so great that when we come before him and we're crying out to him, he hears us. And he answers us. And chooses to invade our space and make his presence known and visible to us. If only we would ask and keep on asking. Because we truly need his glory. We need God's glory. We need his visible presence to be revealed. Because as people, we know that we are broken, sinful, limited in what we can do and give to those people in need around us, to those who are hurting, to those who are sick, to those that are lost and hopeless. But we have the great solution to every person's need. God's glorious, visible presence. When we meet him, we are filled by him. And we take him with us and meet their needs. Because he is the solution to every person's state. So in God's glory, in God's presence, we discover our true identity. Right? Our identity is confirmed. Who we are is confirmed in him. In his presence, those who are sick and hurting are healed. In his presence, the broken are restored. In his presence, we find hope for the future. In his presence, we discover and begin to live out our true purpose. In his presence, there is meaning and purpose to our life. Don't you want his presence? Isn't there something inside of you that cries out, Lord, I need you right now. So right now, let's ask for it. Let's ask him to reveal his presence to us right now. Let's be desperate as we come before him and say, God, we need you now. We don't want to wait until tomorrow, Lord, we need you now. So all of us, come on, let's ask him right now for his presence in our life. You can sit, you can stand, you can kneel down on the floor, be prostrate before him. In your own language, as we're sitting here right now, let's ask him to come. Let's come before him hungry and desperate and ask him and keep on asking him to come. Let's ask right now, Lord, come. Don't wait for me to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to. It's your prayer. You ask him right now. Let's ask. Come, Lord, more of you, Father. More, just more, just more. We want you, Lord. Your presence leads to revival. We want you, Lord. Just more of you. Come, Holy Spirit. More, Lord. Hallelujah. More, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. More, Lord. Father, hear the cry of our hearts. Hear the desire within us, Lord. We need you, Father, just you. In your glorious presence, we need you. Let your face be revealed to us, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. More of you, Lord. More of you. More, Lord. More of you. More of you, Lord. More, Lord. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Father, our hunger for you, our desperation for you will only go away when you are present. Hear the cry of our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, reveal God to us. Come, Lord, reveal yourself. And so, Father, thank you. Thank you that we can call out what's on our heart to you, and you hear, and you meet with us. But Father, we want more of you, Lord, far more than what we are satisfied with right now, far more than what we experience today. We just want more of you, just more of you. Because you are such a wonderful, caring, loving, kind, patient Father. You enclose us in your arms. You bring healing to those that need healing. You bring peace to those that are struggling. You give direction to them that are lost. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We're going to, in a few moments, we're going to stand and we're going to sing our last song. And I'm going to invite you, if you want to spend more time in prayer, to come to the front and let folk pray with you, or just be on your own. If you don't want to come to the front, remain in your chair. Just remain in God's presence because He's here. He wants to meet with you. Yeah, I have this picture suddenly in my mind that God is sitting on the floor and He's sort of saying, my child, I'm glad to be with you today. My child, I'm glad to be with you today. God is just so glad that we take the time to be with Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So straight after the song, if you need prayer, once you come to the front, let folk pray with you. For those who are visiting us for the first time, Tony and some of the folk will be at our guest zone. Please won't you stop there. We have a gift for those who are visiting us. We have a gift for you to take with you. And then if you know folk who you'd like to invite to our soaking services, at the info zone there are cards available that you can take and hand out to invite folk to come with. If there's anything that you need to know, go and ask the folk at the info zone. If they don't know, they'll find somebody who does. Right. Have a wonderful Sunday. Have a glorious week as you ask and keep on asking. Amen. And then don't forget there is refreshments afterwards.